This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
Well, a pleasant Tuesday night and the surge towards a possible NCAA bid coming up 2 weeks, and very much reality for Barry King's women water polo Hoosiers. After losing to regular season champ Michigan earlier this month, Barry's water polo crew have done nothing but win. A perfect 4-for-4 weekend out east in Princeton, New Jersey, beating Brown, George Washington, and Sunday. Bucknell and 21st-ranked Hartwick clinched the two seed in the April 29th CWPA Championships, finishing 6-1 in league play, running the table 6 in a row. They've won 18 of their last 20 and now sporting an outstanding 21-6 record overall. Tonight, a couple of veteran seniors saving their best for last, hopefully. They stop in tonight to Yogi's for Sports Talk. Center Candace Schroeder out of San Clemente, California. She's been on the show before, and fellow classmate, one of the best goalkeepers, if not the best goalkeeper in the country, Mary Campbell from Orlando, Florida. Both foundation pieces in the program since their arrival on campus 4 years ago, and now lying ahead next weekend, the postseason coming up in Boston, Massachusetts. Also on fire in another women's Hoosier sport, the golfers of 11-year veteran head coach Clint Wallman, fourth, second, and T2 in its last three tournaments, and what a time to warm up on the links. This weekend's Big Ten Tournament Championship up at the Fort Golf Resort in Indianapolis. Coach Clint will be along a little bit later tonight. So, ladies first, it's ladies' night out tonight. Hoosier style as we welcome you to Sports Talk, a night of conversation. We're live, as always, from the corner of 10th and Indiana here at Yogi's Grill and Bar. And along with our producer, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanna and Mike Lascott and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith and, Kelly Matthews and Candace, they divided 22 goals last weekend. Five other Hoosiers had three or more. Sarah Myers, Kate Pipkin have been tough defensively, in addition to Mary Campbell in between the pipes. The two Lady Sarah and Kate had 44 assists in the Hoosier duo. Pretty tough at the defensive end, combining on 14 steals, and Mary's been doing her thing. And Indiana will open the tournament and a chance to advance to the NCAA tournament. Both of these young ladies, by the way, made it their sophomore years with Coach Barry. And the tournament play in the CWPA will start April 29th in Boston against seven-seeded Brown. And ladies, really, before we talk about your respective journeys tonight, let's talk and begin in the present. And again, Candace Schroeder joining us out of San Clemente, California, and Mary Campbell from Orlando, Florida. You know, I know that was a tough loss, Candace. We'll start with you first, back earlier at the CBAC against Michigan. Little resolve, though, to not have that happen again. You guys went to work and played some of your best water polo of the year. Talk a little about it.
Yeah, we started off with a young team, so ever since that Michigan game, we've just been building and working hard, and I think the results prove that we've just gotten better every game this season.
Well, I tell you what, you had a career best. I don't know if they widened that goal any in Princeton over the weekend, but you had seven goals against Bucknell. That's a new season career high for you, and really it was needed because that was a tight match, wasn't it?
Yeah, my team was feeding me the ball and trusting me, so I knew I had to put it away. They were guarding Kelly, they were guarding Jenny, they were guarding Sarah Myers, so it was up to me, and we won that game 13-11, I think.
13-11, yeah, pretty tight there in the waters out in Princeton, New Jersey. Mary, it's been a great climb up the ladder for you. You've been here like Candace, you've been teammates, you're both going to graduate in May. Talk a little about your journey. First of all, that's not an easy job, the job that you have, but you're getting the job done. Talk a little about the season, and in particular this past weekend.
This was a great weekend. It's always good when you win all your games. This season has been great. I feel like we're a pretty young team, and we've been playing together really well. And it's just really great to represent our team.
Well, you know, and we'll talk about an interesting ad coming back in the Goalmouth next year after Mary graduates in May, and that is Jessica Goudreau, and we've had her on a couple of times, the brilliant Canadian. But, Candace, you talked a little about the youth of the team. You know, one thing I've noticed in the box scores and the way you've gone about things offensively, talk a little about your depth and some of these young kids that have really, well, some of them freshmen, some of them sophomores, Kelly Matthews being of that variety, they have blended in like they've been playing the sport on the collegiate level all their lives.
Yeah, I was a little nervous being the only returning starter besides Mary, so in the field, but they've all stepped up, and Carrie, Kelly all shooting outside, Sarah Myers finding the back of the net, and Jenny stepping up, posting up. They've really stepped up and they play like they've been starting for 4 years.
No question. And you mentioned Kelly Matthews, and she's well over 100 total points, goals and assist wise, a little over whether 11 goals last week. Like you, she's got at least 60. You have 60. And but talk a little about how that's kind of taken the pressure off of you, maybe made you a better player offensively, knowing how Kelly has emerged.
Yeah, we work really well together. If they're going to run a drop on me, Kelly's going to shoot the ball outside. If they choose to press Kelly, they're going to drop it inside to me. So it makes it really difficult to guard both of us, and so we can be a little more creative because of that.
You know, Candace and Candace Schroeder and Mary Campbell joining us, two outstanding seniors for Coach Barry King's water polo squad. They'll be in action. And by the way, along the way last weekend, and Barry's been the only coach in the sport, and that or is now his 18th 20-win season since he took over the program and established the program in 1998. These women are now 21-6 going out to Boston this weekend. Mary, talk a little about, you know, your saves. You know, that you're climbing the board, as I say. You had 25 saves against UC San Diego. That was a school record, but, you know, before we talk how this season has formed, was that the triple overtime encounter you had with them when you flew out to San Diego? Talk about it.
Yeah, it was a stressful game, but it was a really good game. I think we were all very engaged the entire time. Yeah, it was a tough game, but we hung in there. It came down to the third overtime, but I think we all grew after that. So even though we lost that match, I think it really helped us grow for the future.
You know, Barry's always been one too, and you know, Candace, it's nice for you because you're a native Californian, but to go back when the season starts, I know you started out in Tempe, but you went out to San Diego not once but twice. Mary, talk a little about the toughness of the early season schedule and how Coach always seemingly, he wants to play the best and only get you better now for what's ahead next weekend.
Yeah, he puts up some really intense games right from the start, but I think that's really good because once you get that really tough competition, it helps you figure out, okay, what are we doing right, what are we doing wrong, because we're playing against the best. So it sets us up for future wins.
As well as the points have been added up at the offensive year, the offensive end with Kelly and Candace doing their things, goal scoring, I'm not going to say that eases the pressure, but it's like a pitcher that gets run support. I mean, if you're hitting and you're scoring, does that ease the pressure a bit in some of the matches and take a little of the stress off? Because that ball flat gets there quick. I don't know how you see it.
Yeah, no, it definitely does, and I mean, I have the best support system around me, and it's definitely, it helps when we have some of the best shooters and the best scorers on the in the CWPA on our team. It definitely eases the pressure off of me.
Let's talk a little about, you know, tell me, what are you learning about yourself now that you didn't know, you know, back when you broke in 4 years ago? You've been brought along. Talk a little about how Jess Goudreau has helped you, and she's coming back next year. But what are you finding out about yourself?
I'm finding out how to deal with pressure since they're really intense games we've been facing. And it was great having Jess on the team. It was nice having someone to look up to, someone for a good person to have competition with. You know, she was an incredible goalie. She's going to be an incredible goalie next year. She's a great asset to have on the team. But, yeah, I loved playing with her.
What did she teach you? I mean, what was the one thing that you savored the most and kind of revered?
Definitely her attitude in the goal. She was the boss when she was in the goal, and everyone knew what was expected of them in the defensive position.
Mary Campbell and Candace Schroeder, almost said Goudreau, she's on my mind, and we'll save her for next year. These two women have been right at the focal point of getting things done offensively and defensively. For Barry King in the pool, out at the sea back and on the road, and they're headed to the CWPA Championships next weekend out in Boston, Massachusetts. And we'll continue along with the ladies when we come back. And a little bit later tonight, mentioning women's sports, Clint Wallman joining us as the Hoosiers gear for a high finish up in Indianapolis. The Big Ten Championships unfolding on what should be another beautiful weekend. We're back in a couple of minutes. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk, beautiful 80-plus degree Tuesday. Clint Wallman joining us, talking golf a little bit later. We're talking water polo with Candace Schroeder and Mary Campbell. The Reds on the radio. They brought up Robert Stevenson from Louisville tonight to pitch against the Colorado Rockies. We'll have the first pitch at 7 o'clock here on the airwaves for the Kings of the Ohio. Ladies, let's talk a little about, since one lives at one end of the country and one lives and is from the other end of the country. Candace, we'll start with you, a native Californian, and then we'll get Mary's comments. She's from Orlando, Florida. Talk about the recruiting process. I may have asked you that before, but it's interesting. You're best of friends. You're having your best year as a senior. What's it all meant friendship-wise with Mary? And talk about your recruitment that Barry King went out and got you.
It's been great having Mary the whole 4 years. So we're the last two standing, so that's great. So we want to go out with a win at CWPAs and have one more NCAAs together. And then recruiting wise, Colleen McNaught, who graduated last year, played on my club team. So when she decided to go to Indiana, I looked into it, and then Barry came out for some tournaments and watched me play, and then I fell in love with IU.
Barry, of course, is a native Californian himself. And Mary, you're at the other end of the spectrum, the other end of the country, in beautiful Orlando, smack dab in the middle of the Sunshine State. But how'd the recruiting process go with you? There's a little story behind that.
Yeah, it's a little bit different for me just because if you're from California, it's easy for coaches to come and see your tournaments and games just because that's where everyone is. It's not as prevalent in Orlando, so I had to send some videos for recruiting, but it all worked out because I'm here now.
Is Florida, though, high school-wise and club sport-wise, how popular is the sport at the lower? I mean, as you know, gradually, when did you first get started in water polo?
I started when I was in high school, but okay. they also have middle school leagues. I just wasn't introduced to it yet.
And Candace, being from San Clemente, and you were mentioning Colleen McNaughton and getting you to come to IU, that must have been a heck of a club sport out there with San Clemente. I mean, you guys were loaded, but you start early, don't you?
Yeah, I started when I was 6.
Wow.
I played for my mom until I was 10 and then went to another club team, but yeah, I've practically been playing my whole life.
Well, that's how they got their start, and this is where they are, two dynamic women. Both of them, by the way, are academic all Big Ten, and CWP academic all Big Ten, so they're outstanding student athletes as well. Let's talk about the present now as we gear toward the possibility. And we're not going to put the cart in front of the horse. You have Michigan, but Candace, talk a little about that match back earlier this month. It was a dandy. It was on the Big Ten Network. Great exposure for the sport. You dropped it 11-8. What do you remember most about it, and what's going to have to be done here the second time around when you catch them out in Boston?
What I remember most is we were tied at half. They broke away a little bit in the third quarter, but we came back from that. And I think that's what we have to remind our teammates and each other, is that they went up 4 goals, but we came back. And it was good to see them once, and I think we really learned from that. So going back into it, I think we know exactly what we need to do.
You know, Mary, too, that's kind of been a trait of this squad, the fight, the aggressiveness defensively. Talk about the defensive end, the women in front of you that have made a difference this season to where you are right now.
Oh, our team is great at defending. I feel super comfortable. We get a lot of shot blocks, which is really helpful for me because that's just one more block I don't have to make. But yeah, our team is a great defending team, especially against Michigan, who has really great shots. There's a ton of shot blocks in that game.
Well, we'll see how things unfold. Obviously, that would be for the championship, and it is awfully key because the winner of the CWPA postseason tournament advances to the NCAA tournament. And I know, Candace, there was last year, a tough match to lose. I think it was 8-6. Maybe it was overtime against Princeton. That kind of denied you the opportunity to get there after you had gone there. And we're talking NCAA tournament your sophomore year. Was there a resolve then at that point when you came close and were denied to start your season, getting back to where you want to go?
Yeah, I think after that loss to Princeton, I went home for the summer and then came back for the fall and wanted to work really hard and go to NCAAs my senior year. And I think we talked to the younger girls and told them how it felt, and they had watched the game too. So just working hard and getting to where we want to be.
And Mary, you got a little piece of the action too. And again, we go back 4 years ago or 2013. I think you were, well, I know you were a sophomore. That was a tough one to break in. I think he had a Stanford right off the get-go. But talk about the experience and the ride and how it, you know, kind of bolstered your resolve to, you know, take you over and above, you know, going into this year.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience because you're playing against Olympians, some of the best players in the country and in the world. And there's a ton of fans there. It's the top tier of the country. So after being there my sophomore year, I knew that I want to go back, and this is the last year to do that for me.
Well, no question, and this is the year to do it. Candace, talk a little about how you've raised the bar this year. We mentioned right at the start not knowing what Kelly Matthews was going to do, although she she was Rookie of the Year in the league last year. As a freshman, you had an inkling, but where have you been raising the bar? Where did you want to improve your game? And it's not only the goal scoring, it's finding people open to get scores.
Yeah, I think I really wanted to be a leader this year and also teach other people to lead. So with Kelly, like having her step up, she was only a freshman last year, but having her this year, like demand the ball and be a playmaker. So I just think I just tried to find everyone their own little spot and put all the pieces to the puzzle together.
Well, since he's not here, he's probably listening. He has a commitment. We're talking about Coach Barry King. And as I say, right now with the 21 wins, this is the 18th 20-win season that he's had since he established the sport back in 98, a good friend of mine. But that being said, was he tight, Candace, going into the we'll talk about his demeanor and his approach. He's been hands-on, hands-off, or he just let you guys go about doing, knowing what you had to do?
I would say he's probably more hands-off. He definitely gives us the tools, and we practice what we want to do in the games, but we're not very structured. He really lets us, like, go with the flow of the game. So, yeah, he really does let us do, like, what we want to do.
With the versatility and the flexibility that you've had offensively, has he changed his offensive philosophies much, knowing he has the depth and women that can flat score in addition to you and Kelly?
Yeah, he's very adaptable and finding places like having Kelly post up and having me on the outside. And we've tried a lot of new things this year, and I think it's definitely paying off.
Well, the old saying, Mary, Candace Schroeder joining us, Mary Campbell, the outstanding goaltender. We talk a little about, you know, defense wins championships, so it has been a great run here, and it just seems like everything's dialed in. How flexible has the defense been?
We've been pretty flexible. All the teams we play are a little bit different, so we try to move our defense into an area where we're making sure we have a lot of pressure on the best shooters, and we're letting the weaker shooters shoot, and we've tried to be very versatile in our plays.
Well, the NCAA tournament, beyond what is going on next weekend, and again, we preface next weekend, April 29th out in Boston, Massachusetts. Mary, talk a little about being a student-athlete. As we mentioned, both of you girls, outstanding student-athletes. How is school going? And tell us a little about where you're going to get the old diploma here before long.
It's going good. It's the final stretch, so I'm just trying to make sure my GPA is all set and I'm ready to go. I'm planning on going to physical therapy school in a year, so I'm taking a little bit of time off to get my resume all good to go.
Yeah, is that back in your native Florida? Or?
Yeah, hopefully back at the University of Central Florida is my top school.
All right. How about you, Candace? Obviously, I think you told me you were a psych major. I got so much reverence for psych majors.
I am a psych major, and one last semester, so it's been good. We have 2-3 weeks left of school, so just keeping those grades up and practicing and getting ready for CWPAs.
I just want to talk about approach now with the postseason. You know, you can't just show up. I mean, you got the 7th seed Brown. You've beaten them a couple of times. That is next weekend before you move on to the hopeful meeting with Michigan. Talk about the approach, Candace, as you view it all now. seemingly, you know, everything's on the line. I mean, you've done what you've needed to do, and now you're in a position to win the league championship.
I think Barry says it best when he told us last, before last CWP, is it's a different tournament than anything. The Canadians have played in international tournaments, and they'll tell you that this is a tough tournament to play on, and in any given day, anyone can win. So we have to come out with our A game against Brown right away, or they could beat us.
How about you, Mary? Talk a little about the approach, again, from a defensive standpoint, and what you're seeing coming at you.
Yeah, we sort of what Candace said, we need to come out with our A game. We need to make sure that we're there defensively. We're aware of what's going on. It's anyone's game in this tournament. Brown is a really good team. So, we just need to come out with our A game.
Well, ladies, it was great engaging a little conversation with both of you. Continued the best of luck, and we'll do it again. I'll tell you, when we get to, when you beat Michigan, you know, I am putting the horse cart in front of the horse, and we'll do a little show again and bring Coach in and maybe a couple of other women and talk about the NCAA and what it all means. But I know it means a lot because for you two, it's your final go-around. Thanks for dropping in.
Thank you.
Candace Roeder and Mary Campbell joining us, a couple of outstanding foundation pieces in Barry King's water polo program. In action, well, they're out of action this weekend, kind of resting up, getting back to school work, both getting their diplomas soon, and hopefully moving into the NCAA tournament in a couple of weeks. But the CWPA next weekend in Boston, Mass. We continue our ladies' night out with the veteran head coach to the women. And they have Clint Wallman and the crew. Boy, he's got a squad put together, and are they finding fairways and greens? We'll find out all about it as the Big Tens lie ahead in Indianapolis at the Fort Resort. The old Fort Benjamin Harrison layout. They're familiar with that. It was there last year. We'll talk with Clint Wallman when we come back. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Yes, he does. Reese, Bo, yep. They're the young ones. And watch out for them in a few years. They got their clubs right now, and their last name happens to be Wallman. And Clint, his first name, and all he does is guide the women, and all they've done is just been on fire. And this year, especially when in the tournaments they have played in, a great stretch. Clint, first of all, thanks for taking time. It kind of slipped the old man's mind about when the Big Ten was. Thought it was next weekend. It's this weekend, but before we talk about that, hey, your women are playing excellent, excellent golf.
You know, they have been really, knocking down pins and making putts. It's been a lot of fun. You know, anytime you coach, you go through ups and you go through downs, and you know, it's just really fun to watch them, achieve a bunch of stuff and honestly, see some fruits of their hard work.
Well, is there any question about that? And we're talking about it's not like you got a crusty senior veteran team, but you got one young lady that certainly Camille Chevalier, who won the medal, and you played, it wasn't a putt-putt course, that was the Scarlet course over in Columbus, Ohio. And boy, Camille, senior year, much like the two water polo players, Candace Schroeder and Mary Campbell, saving her best for last.
You know, Camille is just a really special, and she's unbelievably gifted. From a ball striking standpoint or from a technical standpoint, she's really good. But she, in a way, kind of reminds me of a Jordan Spieth type of player. She's not overpowering the golf course. She's certainly not the longest on our team by any stretch of the imagination. But she is unbelievably disciplined, wildly tenacious, and is incredibly focused. And, you saw that last week as she...
Oh.
Just kind of hung around, played, she didn't play a pretty good, first round, played a very, very good second round. And then, the final round just, made a couple of birdies early and got herself in position to hopefully, be there at the end. And
well,
that's how it worked out.
4-under 68, just an incredible round.
Well, she didn't make a bogey in that round. I mean, she had four birdies in the first nine holes. She birdied the first hole and then 7, 8, and 9 and just kept the pedal down on a really tough stretch of holes on that back nine.
Any comparison right now in how she has blossomed here now in her senior year? And we've had Elizabeth Tong on before. She has since left the program, but highly decorated. Any semblance between the two in their games and their approaches?
Well, it's really funny because they lived together for 2 years. This year, Elizabeth left last year, had a great IU career. And, you know, Camille has found herself, you know, kind of on her own a little bit more, and it's been really good. She's, you know, blossomed, kind of doing her own thing. Her game is drastically different than Elizabeth. Elizabeth was kind of a bomber, hit it out there a long ways, had a lot of short irons, into pins. Camille is very, very tactically sound. I mean, she's like a little surgeon out there on the golf course. She hits it to certain points. She has the right angles. She is very, very meticulous in her preparation, and, you know, she just doesn't make mistakes. And what's really funny is that at Ohio State in the first round, she made a it was probably the only mental error that she's made all year. She made a bad decision and made a mental error and wound up making eight on this par five. And she came in, and I saw her, and she's like, she was very upset that she made the mental error, and she said, that's not going to happen again, and I'm not going to let it affect me. And lo and behold, you know, she goes six under the last 36 holes.
Well, you've had a good run when tourney time has rolled around, and, you know, your best finish was 4 years ago. You were fifth, but six top ten finishes, six Big Ten top ten, top six finishes the last 9 years. I mean, you've been right there, but, you know, it's kind of interesting to talk about what's out there this weekend, playing a course you're familiar with, and that's the fact, and we talked to the water polo girls about possibility NCAA. You're right in the conversation with the depth that has evolved, giving you a lot of scoring opportunities.
You know, we've got, you know, we said early on that this was a very, very talented team. It's probably the most talented team top to bottom from a depth standpoint, from a firepower standpoint that we have had in my time at IU. I mean, any of these girls can go deep on any given day. I mean, we saw that in the second round at Ohio State where they shot, you know, two under par, and we saw it at Briars Creek where they shot six under par. I mean, it's just really good. And so, you know, like coming into this week, you know, they've played very well. They have a lot of confidence. And, you know, the way, as you know, to win tournaments, especially golf tournaments, a lot of stuff has to go your way. It's not all about you. I mean, you could play perfect, and someone else could just play unreal better. So, you know, this year we have Northwestern sitting on top of, you know, the Big Ten. They're probably ranked either, depending on the poll, fourth or seventh. And then the rest of us are right there. No one really clear-cut second. And so, you know, my girls are just very excited to go play. They know that they can go win this thing if they stay with their game plan and just keep doing the things they're doing.
Well, you mentioned, and, you know, the GolfSat rankings will be out tomorrow. Before you went to Columbus, you were number 57. And when we talk about, you know, I don't know, quote, unquote, we'll use the word bubble as it associates itself with the NCAA tournament. So it's around, what, 50, 55? I mean, you're more than in the hunt. You're knocking at the door.
Yeah, we're definitely definitely in the bubble. The 57 was last week prior to our play at Ohio State, so I'm guessing that will probably move up a little bit. That'll be nice.
Well, it should. I mean, you know, you tied Ohio State, but you beat Michigan State. You beat Augusta State, and both of those teams were well above you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, anytime you can pick off, you know, top 50 teams, that's a good thing. I mean, we came out of Ohio State 9-1-1, and you know, it was a good, you know, really good tournament. So,
talk a little about the concept, and I don't know when this came into vogue, but this week you get to take six and score what, four?
Yeah.
So you count the four lowest scores each round. Now at most tournaments, you take five and then count the lowest score. So really, you look at what's ahead in theory. That kind of allows at least more chances for more lower scores, and that really bodes well with how your women are playing right now.
Exactly. You know, we've got five solid players, and we actually have a squad of eight really deep players. And you know, Teresa Angedra is you know, playing this week. She had a good weekend last week at Ohio State. Was very close to shooting a couple of really good numbers, and that, you know, if we can get a round of even par or two rounds of one over or something like that out of Teresa, I mean, all of a sudden it becomes a much different ball game. So, you know, for us, you know, I think our depth is probably our greatest strength. You know, we've had all players post numbers under par. Every one of the top five have shot at least a score in the 60s this year, and you just don't see that a lot in college golf.
Well, you mentioned Teresa Angedra, and Aaron Harper is a freshman. I mean, it's tough in the league you play in, the schedule that in the tournaments that you have the women playing in, and you're like Mike Mayer. You've been out there playing the toughest in the country in the toughest sites. Talk about how she's obviously come right in and made the adaptation to collegiate golf at the high level.
Well, you know, Harp is she's a big time player. All the girls are big time players. You know, she came in very highly decorated, and you know, she just has that professional level game. Much different than, we'll say, Camille. You know, Harp can hit the golf ball a mile, and so she's a lot of times plays courses that are, instead of par 72s, par 70, because she can hit the par 5s and 2. She's a wonderful iron player, and the thing that really strikes me about her is she has the ability, and this is one of the reasons I recruited her, to make birdies. It's like she can make birdies on command, and when her head is in a good spot, it's unbelievable. We had a qualifier in the fall at Otter Creek, and you know, the girls were playing, and I had a couple of them that, you know, posted decent numbers, like 73, 74. Right. They came in, and it's like, hey, you know, good. Harp came in and shot 65, and they just looked at her and went, wow. I mean, and she literally birdied half the golf course. She made two bogeys and, you know, 9 birdies or something.
How did you keep her away from Ohio State, since her hometown is Dublin, Ohio? And that said, did she have a pretty good following last weekend?
Well, she had a great following, and I'm not going to comment on how we got her out of there, because I don't want Therese to have that secret. she had a lot of support there, and she's had a lot of success at Scarlett. Her last junior tournament, it was an AGAGA event that she won there. So, it was a good golf course for her. And looking ahead, you know, the Fort is a very similar type of golf course. It doesn't have the tough greens that Ohio State has, but it has a little bit more emphasis on the ball striking, which is kind of right up Aaron's alley. So with her length and her ability to hit iron shots, I foresee her having a really good event.
You went out and brought from Bangkok, Thailand, Sirico.
Yep.
And talk a little about her. She's a sophomore. I mean, you've got Camille, who's a senior. Anna San Juan, we'll talk about her in a second, a junior. Pear is a sophomore. Aaron, as we've just mentioned, a freshman. We'll also get to Alex Kong. That's an interesting story. And Therese Angedra. But how'd you get a line on, did you go over to Bangkok and
no,
bring her?
Haven't made it there.
Okay.
Pear was at a Hank Haney Junior Golf Academy.
Okay.
And so we knew some people down there and had talked to them quite a bit, and we had seen her play in some events. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily a Thailand recruiting trip, although, you know, I think Coach Lauren would really like to go on that trip as well, and try to get over there and get some more players. Pear is, she's just a tiny little girl, but she is probably the second longest ball striker on our team. She is a beast. She hits it out there as far as Aaron. She hits towering iron shots, and she's just a really, really good player. She's really blossomed, over the past year and a half. She actually, funny story, her freshman fall, she was in the weight room with one of our other freshmen, and for whatever reason, freshmen were being freshmen, the one freshman lifted up a 100-pound weight. It slipped. It dropped on Pear's foot. And so she was out for the spring, or for the fall. So she came out for the spring. She didn't play. She came out for the spring. And she won our qualifier down in Orlando by 15 shots last year. I mean, she beat Elizabeth and Anna and Camille. And I mean, she won it going away. And she has not looked back. She's been in the lineup the entire way. Has given us some great scores. Had a great tournament at Briars Creek. It's good stuff.
And only a sophomore, and not to elevate her into the LPGA Tour, but what is she telling you about the popularity, though, Clint, of the game of golf for the women over in Asia, Japan? You see it, the leaderboard every week. I mean, you're talking about 15, 16-year-old girls playing right now as AMs, has exploded.
Well, you know, the golf over there is just—it's just a different animal. I mean, it is literally—I don't want to call it a religion, but I mean, it's a way of life.
It's become almost that.
Yeah, it really has. South Korea, Thailand, China, Japan, all those areas are producing fantastic players, and you know you're going to see it at this this coming Olympics. I mean, you know, I would imagine the South Koreans are going to be pretty tough to beat. At this year's Olympics in women's golf.
Well, that's great, and while we're there, that's just great that it has become an Olympic sport, huh?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch over the course of the years coming up.
Hey, I remember when you brought Anna San Juan on, and she, you know, met with some early success, and not that she's flattened out any, but she's only gotten better as well. But she is in that mold again of someone that if she's one of those flying underneath the radar, watch out, because she can put low scores together.
You know, she can really it's really amazing, because she doesn't necessarily wow you from a technical standpoint. I mean, she doesn't hit the ball super far. You know, at Ohio State, she hit every fairway and 16 greens the last round. I mean, and just, you know, just put the ball in play, you know, got it on the green. You know, if she can putt well, she didn't quite have a good putting tournament. She was also last week, you know, I was just happy that she was in the lineup, because on Tuesday of last week, she was violently ill, just sick, flu. And, you know, we kept her out of practice and got her hydrated and did all that stuff. And, you know, she did well. And, you know, she's a player in kind of that Camille mode, that they know how to play the game. And that's kind of, you know, the neat thing about coaching these women right now, is that, you know, with this group of players that I have, you're not necessarily teaching them so much technique. I mean, you're improving their bunker play and you're improving their pitching and doing all that stuff, but you're just teaching them how to play the golf course at a professional level.
How to manage it.
How to manage the golf course, how to manage yourself, how to, you know, understand when it's time to take your shot and when it's time not to, and knowing how to play your game there at the golf course. And they have really taken you know, kind of a couple of pet words that we have had, and they have fun with it. It's you know, we call it hashtag urgency. You know, obviously for Twitter, but they really have bought into that, you know, they need to take care of business now, not be complacent, not worry that it's a 54 hole event. And oddly enough, that started at San Francisco. When, you know, we went to San Francisco and the weather was such that I told the girls, this could be an 18-hole event, 36, 54, could be 9. We don't know.
Right.
And so you better get out there and play from the gun. And they did that, and they had great success. And then we brought them back in and said, hey, you know what? You might want to try that, like, all the time. And they were like, yeah, this works. And so, you know, they have really adopted urgency without recklessness. And our other kind of little phrase is, you know, the three most important words in the golfer's language are, what's my target? You know, just focus on your target. It doesn't matter what you just did, what you're going to do, what happened there. I mean, it's, what do I have to do now to execute this shot, stay in the moment type thing, all the sports cliches.
I ask myself that every time I take the stick out of the bag, you know. now my eyesight's going. I don't have to worry about hearing the I'll get a hearing aid here before next Indiana season rolls around with headsets for 40-plus years. You know, talking about not so much working on the technique, but more or less urgency, golf management, the mental part of the game. It never gets old, and it's so much a valued piece of success.
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, we talk to the girls all the time. I mean, you play golf with your clubs, but you win at golf with your brain and your heart. And it's just very, very true. And, you know, these aren't necessarily just indicative to golf. I mean, these are life lessons, is what we really, you know, I mean, whether you're competing for a job or whatever it is, you know, it's really about the best version of you that you can put out that day. And that's the, you know, the message that we try to get out to the girls. Just, you know, put the best version of you, whether it's Camille, Anna, Pear, Alex, TA, or whoever. I mean, just put your best version out there.
We talk about the mental, and we'll throw in mature, even with this young squad. And there's an interesting story here, because we talk about some of your players flying underneath the radar. Talk a little about the story. And this is one young lady that kind of, I'm not going to say she fell out of favor with the game, but she was a little frustrated. We're talking about your junior, rather your sophomore, Alex Kong. And here is a young lady that has now been playing five for you over the course of these last 3 years. The young lady's from British Columbia, and only a sophomore, as I say. You did retool everything and re-pumped her enthusiasm to where now, just shows you what a little perseverance does.
Well, you know, you learn through the hard times, and we tell the girls that all the time. That's where the greatest learning takes place. Not when stuff's going well. That's easy. When stuff's going bad, that reveals your true character, and that's when you learn the most. And, you know, Alex came in a very highly decorated junior player. Team Canada, Team BC, one of the top amateurs and junior players, and she stepped right in and played the first couple of tournaments, and, you know, it was a bit of a different level for her. Played okay, you know, but didn't play as well as she wanted to. And then just like any other athlete, I mean, you know, a baseball batter or, you know, hitter or someone that just, you know, pitcher that can't find the strike zone all of a sudden, started getting in her own head, you know, kind of went downhill a little bit, and then really kind of questioned her love for the game, you know, and she worked through it last spring. You know, she had some technical stuff she had to do, I mean, from a swing and all that standpoint, but really, you know, when we evaluated her last spring, you know, the thing was, like, you have to enjoy doing this. You have to love playing the game, and instead of thinking about all the things that you're not doing well, let's just flip that and let's try to build on the positive stuff. Like, let's work on your putting, and that's really good. Let's work on your chipping and make that really good. And so we started building, you know, kind of from a positive outlook. And, you know, lo and behold, she went home and just kept working on her game, and she came back.
Came after her, huh?
Yeah, she did. I mean, she didn't play immediately when she got back. She, you know, she led our qualifying and then didn't finish it off. And she was in the hunt for another qualifying and didn't quite finish it off. And then this year we had another qualifier and didn't really get the results we wanted. And we decided, you know, we kind of looked down our depth chart and was like, okay, you know what? You know, we're giving, you know, all these people a chance. Let's give Alex a chance. And when she had that chance at Westbrook, she went crazy. I mean, she shot 73 the first round, 80 in the 36th hole, the second round of the 36th hole day, then came back with 70 the next day. Went to San Francisco, shot 80 in absolute pouring sideways rain with rain delays and all that stuff. The next day she came out and had it 5 under par through 13 holes and wound up shooting 68. And that, you know, really was a big kickstart. San Francisco is a big kickstart to this whole run that the girls have enjoyed.
Well, and it's a perfect lead because I'm looking at a quintet of women senior through freshman class that have done nothing but improve and are putting up scores to as proof in the pudding, the saying goes. But Clint, and I had Mike in a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, how much has this success coincided with the brand new training center and everything that's been going on out your way?
Well, you know, definitely the training center gives us a much better place to practice in the winter. You know, you get a one-on-one situation. You know, we now have all the technology that we can diagnose ball flight a lot better with TrackMan, and we have all the goodies. And it just gives us an ability to work much more productively, and that's a big thing. You know, our whole practice has changed because of it. You know, we are very much individual focused. When there's snow on the ground, we bring them in. You know, we work with them on a half an hour or so, 45 minutes. We were able to adjust ball flight and path and face angle and all that sort of techie stuff, and you know, get them going where we want, and then we send them off, and we come back and we check, and we send them off, and it's much more effective way of training than what we have had in the past.
And one of your principles you just mentioned here a minute ago or two, see the target. Well, now with all this the TrackMan and everything, they can visibly see it. I mean, what's technology. We could talk about balls and clubs, but now we're really getting into the high-tech end of the collegiate game.
Absolutely. You know, one of the neat things about, like, the TrackMan, for example, is if, you know, we teach, Mike and I both teach very similarly. We teach off the golf ball. You know, what the golf ball's doing, it's, you know, there's only so many things that the club can do. And, you know, this generation of player doesn't work off ball flight. They work off of what their swing looks like. And it's what I call swing dynamics, which is what's happening with the golf club, versus, you know, swing style, like what your swing looks like. And, you know, Camille was a very good example of this because in the fall she was hitting what we call these low rope hooks, which is just a low line drive hitting left really hard. It's like you're taking out the third baseman. It is just a low rope hook. And I was trying to get her to hit the opposite shot, which was a high slice, and she couldn't understand it. And, you know, her perception of the swing and what the swing was really doing were two different things. So, you know, we got her to kind of buy into it, and she saw results.
Yeah.
But when we got the TrackMan, because of the features of the TrackMan, she was able to see when she swung the club that her club wasn't traveling straight down the path, like 0 degrees straight down the line. It would be traveling 6 degrees to the right. And she would feel like she was making a big slice swing, but the club was going left. And so she was like, wow, okay, now I've got a better idea of what it is I'm trying to do.
Well, you explain it, and it's way over my head, but the right people understanding it are you women golfers, and we wish you well up at the fort. And, again, looks like a nice weather weekend. Not going to be nearly as warm as it's been, but once again, you know, we'll wait until the Golfstat numbers come out, rankings where you are, and that will tell us more. But, again, with the opportunity to score with your four and count the four lowest, pretty good opportunity. That's all you're asking for.
Well, you know what? We're really excited about this weekend. You know, I think it's anyone's tournament. And more importantly, the girls believe that they are capable of winning this thing. And actually, you know, we talked about that as a team.
Right.
In a way.
Why not?
Well, in a way, you know, finishing, you know, five shots behind Kent, which is the number 11 team in the country, you know, was a good thing because it keeps them hungry. And, you know, if they'd have won at Ohio State or something, it might have made them, you know, you never know, made them complacent, maybe not, who knows. But the fact that they know, you know, they competed with Florida, they didn't back down, they beat Florida State head-to-head. They, you know, I mean, we've really done a number on Michigan State the last two tournaments. We beat them by 28 the last at Briars Creek and six this last weekend. So, well, you know, they believe they can do something special.
Keep it going. Hey, always great to talk the game with you, and the best of luck as we wind through the rest of the month and hopefully into the NCAA tournament. And fairways and greens, my friend.
All right, thank you so much.
Clint Wallman joining us, and we'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yokies. Well, I tell you, great night of ladies' conversation. Two outstanding women's sports, water polo. Our thanks to Candace Schroeder and Mary Campbell and Clint Wallman doing a great job with the IU women's golf team. We wish them well in the Big Tens this weekend. Don't forget, upcoming, the Red Zone to Radio, 7 o'clock. Robert Stevenson, they brought up from Louisville to pitch tonight. David Glass in the zone. Tomorrow night at 6, Cubs and Reds starting well, Thursday night on the radio dial. Our employee of the week at the barbecue train in the shortstop is Seth Sanders. For our producer, Will Boatman. On glass, on site producers, Joanna and Mike Glascott. That'll about do it as we roll to the top of the hour. Back hopefully next week with lots more sports conversation. Have yourself a great week. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. Good night, everyone.